ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two. You're listening to hour number two of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, because in these kind of times, you really do have to understand how bad everything is. But at the same time as understanding how bad everything is, you've got to find some freaking coping mechanisms. And I'm not promoting the use of meth by any stretch of the imagination. Have a sense of humour, all right? Doctors do it in triage. You would believe the dark jokes some of these people tell me. It's horrific, but it's frickin' funny. And you know why? Because you don't have any other choice. If you don't laugh, you will cry. If you don't try and make light of the darkness, it will envelop and consume you for all time. There is nothing you can do to stop it. And anybody who thinks seriously, think seriously about this for just a moment, about the huge quantity of torture, murder, drug dealing, rape, scumbaggery, financial mismanagement that is destroying people's lives at all moments of every single day of the week, 365 days a year. If you were to even try and focus for one moment on everything that's bad that's going down, you'd go insane in an instant. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. And I don't mean to make light of the situation with Pip that we're having here, but we were actually having a wee bit of a laugh over the break, over the absurdity of it. And you told me, Pip, that one of the reasons why they decided to take your daughter is because you and your partner had quite the age gap.
Yes, that's correct. I was 28-year age gap. I'm older than my partner, and it wasn't accepted, not by my older daughter, not by the neighbours. We were quite well off. And that's the only thing I can think of, because I had a clean police record. Like, I brought my child up. Around 9 years celibacy, I was a 24-hour mother. I never even babysitted my child out. She went to Sunday school. She's my baby. Now, my partner, he is sterile. I have gone into puberty. They have stolen my child. I cannot have another child. And I can never get my baby death. And now I was cleared by the judge on the 18th of January this year that because I had evidence in my handbag that clearly I had my receipt for my plate, that the notes on the back of the receipt said, "Your plate could cause slight slurring of speech." I was accused of being an alcoholic for me. And I would have to every day now, but totally defame me, and people think I'm a child abuser, and I'm not.
You know what's funny is, well, in fact, this isn't funny. I'm sorry. I shouldn't mean to use that word.
Yeah.
What's really horrific about it is that I've had lies told about me.
Yeah.
And you know what I hate more than anything else in the world is people telling lies about me and people believing it and being accused of something that I haven't done. It is the most incensed, inflamed sensation. It almost drives you into full on fight or flight, kill or be killed mode. That's how much of a switch off it is for me.
Absolutely, it turned into a witch hunt, an absolute witch hunt. For anybody that is jealous of me or jealous of my, because my partner's actually quite quite handsome. He looked like Taylor Lautner. But, you know, that was my good luck. But the thing is, a person could be so nasty, okay, the public needs to know. Anybody that's got a child or children, you fall, have a fallout with your neighbour, they're jealous. Maybe you've bought a brand new car. They think, if they're that vindictive and nasty, they go, how can we just stop their lives up? So they get on the blower, don't they? And they make a false notification, and they
And these notifications don't require any evidence. It's just your frickin' say-so. Look, a friend of mine, a person in my flat when I was in Dunedin assaulted me in my room. And then the police came round and he said, oh, well, you know, he was just having a panic attack and I was trying to console him and now he's just calling you up and saying that I assaulted him. You know, just complete lies. You know what the cop said? Well, it's your word versus his. Sorry, we can't do anything. Precisely the same thing would have happened here.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Another scenario. At the 6-month point, I misread something on legislation, and I did make a mistake, but I didn't realise I had. At the 6-month point, I thought that the temporary custody order had automatically fallen off, so I went to access with this belief. And I told them I'm taking my daughter home, and they let me walk out with her. And we had, oh, gosh, that's the last day and the best day I've ever had with my daughter, is that day that we walked out of that access centre, and I thought that was over, that I'd made a mistake, and that information that I had read was obviously... there was obviously a loophole there that they I shouldn't have done that, and I thought I was allowed to, because I thought it was automatically after 6 months of withholding a child with no evidence and everything. I thought, you know, and this is what I thought I'd read through legislation, but you know how quite mind-boggling that is when you're reading acts and sections and legislation.
Oh yeah, anyway. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
No wonder the politicians don't even read the bills.
At 7 o'clock that night, so I brought my daughter home, and she was just so relieved to be home. 7 o'clock, knock, knock, knock on the door.
Are you kidding me? On the very day that you're going to bring home, they come for her?
Oh, God, yes.
Sweet mother of mercy.
Two police officers, a big, burly, armed guy, and a... Oh, I don't know what you call it. I think for Asian, Korean or something. Really vicious. And they come in and they had their order and they said, you've removed your child wrongfully from the access centre. And Brock is clinging to me like a dear life. Mummy, and she's going, Mummy, please don't take me. She's looking at the place. My mum's your best mother in the world. And they dragged her, they dragged her into the car. There were tears in the policeman's eyes. They couldn't do a thing because the six officers had that court order and the police officers couldn't help. Watching this little girl screaming at them, mother's never hurt me. Mother's the best mother in the world and she wouldn't let me go. And I just had to rip her out of my arms and drag her and throw her in the back of the car. You know, and that is my worst memory of what I did. You know, I'm never going to get my child back. Because, well, even if I did, they took my 10-year-old little girl. I've got a 14-year-old girl that's scarred up from self-harming, for the trauma that she's been through, because she couldn't handle the pain, so she started razor-blading my arms. But she's You're a child. It's all in your head. She's not a self-harmer. Well, what do you call that, honey?
I call that a bunch of BS.
It's disgusting. It's got to stop. It's got to stop because I'm not, I know I'm not the only one in New Zealand.
There are too many. I hear stories like this coming out of England, Australia, Canada, the United States.
Yeah.
It's
Jennifer. Assassinated, and your husband, and then the next woman that stepped into her shoes. What they did with her to keep her quiet. They took her children. Have you heard of Nancy Schaefer, Vinny?
No. Could you explain this?
Oh, really interesting. I would advise anybody, because it's the same thing that is happening in America, England, Australia, and New Zealand. And if you YouTube Nancy Schaefer, you'll see what she's trying to say. Now, because she spoke out and was trying to do what I'm trying to do, she was assassinated. I actually always fear, that's why I decided to go public, because I do fear for my life. Because if it happened to Nancy Schaefer, we've already had the SIS take down my partner's Facebook page.
Really?
Yes.
How do you know it was the SIS?
From the email.
They sent you an email.
It was an email, Facebook advising that the SIS had closed down his account because he put up a picture of Paula Bennett over a stove. She was doing a homeless people thing, you know, trying to be the good, you know, I can cook for them and da 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 da. And he placed, I can't remember exactly what it said, but just some words on the pot. And the SIS took his page down.
Well, that means that you specifically and your partner, maybe because of your case, have drawn SIS attention because they're there to protect the paedophile network as much as anybody.
Well, you know how they spy on New Zealand. Well, do you know what? I advise anybody, if they're in my situation and I do this with my laptop, I sort of take a piece of black cardboard over my webcam. So they can't watch me in my bedroom. That's how bad it is. But, you know, but speaking out, I want New Zealand parents to know this is what's happening, and with me opening up and telling you, this could happen to you. Don't think it. I used to think, oh, children are only taken by sex. Surely. And take children for nothing. I used to be like that. But I was so wrong. I was so, so wrong.
You know what's really sad is that most people like yourself, in order to see the truth, you have to have it happen to you.
That's right.
Now, that's not good enough. The only reason...
Because I was one of those people that were ignorant and didn't realise that this was actually going on in New Zealand.
We think we're safe in this country, don't we?
That's a bit of a joke.
I mean, New Zealanders, are you freaking retarded? Don't you get it?
Honestly, Paula Bennett would not know how to run a peanut farm.
Apparently, she was known as the town bicycle of Rotorua.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about her daughter was a peer at it, and they were gang affiliated. So
well, hey, you know what? There's nobody better.
Her daughter was going out with a gang member, and still was. They were both peers. It's all right, for her to be the high and mighty and gain the MP's job. As Minister of Social Development on her solid benefit, got a daughter, she's gang associated, Paula Bennett is, through her daughter.
You know what, Pip?
What?
I don't think you put anybody into a position unless you've got some dirt on them that you can blackmail them with.
I emailed Corbina and I begged her. I absolutely begged her. They've made a mistake. Please help me. Ignored Judith Collins. Ignored. I pass it back. I wrote to every single MP and every party twice. And they just go, no, you need to go and see Paula Bennett. Contact her. I did.
They're passing the buck.
You know, I don't know today if my child's going to commit suicide or not. I don't know if she's actually alive or dead, actually. You know, don't you think that terrorism, it is terrorism?
Well, terrorism is defined as a system of government, much like communism or capitalism, whereby the government uses horrible, coercive tactics in order to make the people do what it wants through terrorizing them.
Well, they didn't make... They, I know what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to commit suicide. But luckily, I'm an ex drug senior assistant from Green Lane Intensive Care. And because of that type of job... it's given me, I've got a lot of strength, and so this is what I thought, you know, it helped me with my strength side of things, but then on the other side, it's like, what's the point in topping myself, then they won, don't they?
Well, you're a fighter, and you know, we mentioned...
I'm not going to stop fighting, and I'm not going to be quiet. And I will go on and on and on until somebody... they've got to be exposed to me.
I only wish I could help even more. You know what? Why I ask people to listen to this show, Pip? You know why I self-promote so much and get shouted down at meetings, like happened at the GCSB meeting? It's because people need to hear this stuff. You need to hear this stuff, everybody. You know the reason why everything's so fracked up in every single one of our countries? It's because you're not listening.
You're being cheap. It's like, bah.
Oh, hold on, Pip. Pip, I'm sorry. We're going to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tino Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to our planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery. They print $100 and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan but don't print the interest, so there'll never be enough money to pay off all the debt. What do you get? Crash and burn. When will my people learn the truth? Come on now, before it's too late. Hey, I got a new law for you. Let's make charging interest illegal and out it all. So righteous, the greedy wanna see me fail. So righteous, like Jesus chilling on some nails. Yeah, I'll fight this, die quick, never old and frail. My no hype spit of the classified true tale. Alzheimer's on the increase due to aluminium in the chemtrails. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest is Pip Cunningham. And, you know, it's been funny. Since 2011, when I saw you speak, I thought to myself, you know what, I'm really going to interview this lady. I'm going to get her to tell her story because it looks like she's in a shockingly large quantity of freaking pain. Real, intense, extraordinary, penetrating pain. And by
God, do people need to hear that stuff on a regular basis, because it knocks them out of their comfortable little squishy comfort zone, myself included. You know, people don't realize how freaking good they got it until they hear directly from the horse's mouth, from people who have had everything that they value and treasure taken from them. This could happen to you at any point, for any reason. This is the society we really live in. This is what is behind the veil. This is what they don't want you to see. This is why the media never covers it. This is why you can't report anything that happens inside a family court. This is why child, youth, and family workers can order police around. Sworn officers at your beck and call. Thugs with jackboots who will obey your every command, master. This is New Zealand. Wake the frack up. Pip, welcome back.
Hi. I have to say that with mandatory reporting, I mean, I understand that child and or cis, you know, do need to step in and take some children that are being abused. But they should be only doing this with evidence. Not just take a child, chuck a child because he says, she says, but there's no evidence, holds on to that child and tries to stop that, the mother or the father, from getting the defender's hearing to prove that they are innocent, which I did, and the judge is disgusted. But they just didn't want to give me hearing. I had to go through Chester Burrows.
Because then it's on the record.
I had to ask, please, I'm entitled to a defender's hearing. That's all I want. And the judge was so angry. Judge Walker was awesome. She was so angry that I'd been left so long. 3.5 years is a long time. I lost a lot of weight. I couldn't eat because I went into fight or flight mode. I dropped right down to 35 kgs.
35? Holy cow.
I'm in a healthy weight now. I'm back to, you know, just about being done.
That. For the Americans, that's like somewhere around the region, like 70 pounds or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's I probably am only about from high school weight, about 6.5 stone, between 6 and 6.5 stone. I am only short, I'm only 5 foot. But the thing is that I'm walking around day and night with like a knot in my stomach. You know,
it's almost like, I mean, imagine for a moment that we're talking fantasy, like Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah.
It's like a curse that is placed upon you that takes the very deepest part of your soul and rips it right out of your body and keeps it held as far away from you as possible, so that the further away you are, the more you suffer, and it feeds off your suffering.
I mean, I have no... This is, you know, even though because they had managed to, the judge said that wouldn't accept that six alienated my child. So, I mean, my daughter was telling me all the lies that she's been told by family members. Things like, these are the sort of things. Oh, that Facebook. Do you know where your mother's living now? She's living under a bridge. Things like that. Do you know where your such and such sister is that I bought you? This is the grandmother. Your mother's been throwing that on tape now. Last year in January, I actually did have a visit with Brooke, and and she's stunning. That's not true. That's not true. And I went and got this. It was a skincare gift. It cost me $60. Oh, no, sorry. It's the grandmother that bought that skincare thing. I said, here. Here it is, here. Why did I sell your things? That was okay. When I finally got to court in January, I had bought my daughter a Shiseido skincare pack. $59, a little bag of some lollies, a Shiseido skincare pack, with these balloons, chocolate balloons, things. And you know what? This supervisor, Manuela, a big guy, he turned around and he said that, where have I got my daughter for her birthday last year? Was a measly packet of lollies. And that's the biggest lie that is totally untrue. So basically, currently, we've got a beautiful 10-year-old, now 14, her head psychologically screwed up. She thinks she's ugly. She doesn't like being a sips kid. She likes the money because they do buy her. They give her $330 every 12 weeks for clothes. And she got the elderly woman that's got 10 children. Well, she's absolutely craning us, isn't she? Because for every child she's got, she gets $189 per child.
Now, is that $189 before or after tax?
I'm not sure, Vinny.
Let's assume that it's before tax. It's $150 a week. She's got 10 kids.
Yep.
She's making 15. She's making 1.5K a week.
I know. You can't tell me that she's doing it for love.
Now, this reminds me of Dan Ryder, our mutual acquaintance. Because I've actually told this story on air a number of times, and indeed we recorded a conversation with him, and the video's up on the YouTube channel for anybody who wants to search just Daniel Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R. He actually found a house not unlike the one you're describing, where there were like something like 10 kids or whatever, yeah, in a garage on bunk beds.
Yeah. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen that garage. And it's just down the road from Paula Bennett's house, I think. But,
of course it is.
As far as I was aware.
Now, Dan went out there with his truck, wrapped a cable around that door.
And a shed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, children or teenagers are very... especially traumatised ones, are very difficult. And they've got one old lady with 10 children, and there's another guy. They're actually moving from Otara, as we speak, out to Brockhurst Bay, because I don't know what's happened there.
Now, for those of you who don't know, that's like moving from Harlem to Beverly Hills.
Yeah. They said, we're really sorry. She's got herself into a bad crowd. And I said, no, you know, Sherlock. I'm not surprised, because I wanted her out of South Auckland as quick as possible. But no. I said, don't put her into Alfriston College. There's drugs going around that school. But no, they didn't listen to me. And sure enough, my daughter gets suspended for smoking marijuana, supplied by another student. You know?
The word "I told you so" just doesn't quite cut it sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
They don't like it. They know that my daughter has, you know, the ADHD thing. Her sister was saying, and she was naughty, oh, stop blaming your bad behaviour out on your ADHD. That was psychologically upsetting my child, and that thing I found, my child sitting on the bed with a knife. And I contacted child mental health immediately, the people that were giving her the ADHD medication, and they told me to get that sister, that my older daughter, and her partner out of the house as quick as I possibly could. I had trouble, and within 6 months, I ended up having to turn the power on them on my density to get them off my property. So my daughter was already a self-harmer, but they kept on saying, it's all in my head, you know. It's not all in my head. I could actually show you photos, which I haven't put up because of my daughter's privacy. This is what annoys me. I'm not allowed to put photos up. I do now and again. Well, they're not probably, I'm not allowed to, but it's actually personal for my daughter. But you've got the foster carer. Oh, she's loading up photos of all kids in her care, like trophies. And I emailed Joe Hopkins of Manurewa branch, the current social worker, and I told her, tell her to take the photos down. They're not her that's not okay. They're not her children. You know, oh, here, look what I've got.
See, even on Facebook, it's kind of like, it's kind of like against their.
His name's Tommy
Lee. Yeah, I mean, it's actually even like against terms of service or something to upload photos of other people's kids on Facebook.
Exactly.
You know, hello, you're foster caring. There are other people's kids. I think I see a connection that's been missed.
Yeah, I mean, how do you think Brooke would feel? Well, I mean, when she's older, she may not understand now. But she's been passed all over Facebook by this woman. And so, oh, look, I've got a sixth kid. You know? Oh, that's okay. She doesn't care. All she cares about how wonderful she is. 10 children, an old lady, a bit, she's, I don't know, she looks about 70 to me, but maybe 60. 10 vulnerable children in her care, solely in her care.
It sounds and awfully a lot like the tale, like the tale of Oliver Twist.
I mean, yeah.
What does she serve them? Gruel.
I mean, they get a lot of money. I've seen the groceries on the floor, but the thing is, a normal mother and father that has 10 children. Would have difficulty in, you know, because they're all different ages. Most, several of them. Now, you may recall the Otara prostitutes, 13-year-old. Do you remember that? Just recently. They plucked off the street by the police. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, you haven't heard about that?
Remind me.
Okay. About, I'd say around about 6 months ago, that found that some families, I don't know if, anyway, they found 13-year-olds prostituting in Otara. Kids were uplifted into the sixth care. I'm betting that a couple of them are in with my daughter. You know? Now, my daughter was, I sheltered her from that sort of thing. Now, I brought her up Christian. Sent Sunday school and everything. Now she's just, you've seen the photos, funny, eh?
I described it over the phone to you, didn't I? People might be familiar with a special 60 Minutes episode about meth and what it does to people. And they had the before and after photos after basically their entire soul has been drained and all the light from their eyes and just a terrible, terrible situation for this person. That's the same kind of look that we're talking about here. We'll be right back after the break with Pip Cunningham. One more segment. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You can also listen on the homepage at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. And speaking of making the frickin' news,
I was at the GCSB meeting last night with Kim.com.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about all manner of scumbaggery that the government's up to, man. Covering up for its own dirty business, doing the will of the NSA, selling out the country to these globalist, fascist, eugenicist pieces of trash, Satanists, whatever the heck you want to call them, New World Order scumbags. And of course, guess who was there? Records the whole thing. Vinnie Eastwood. That's right. And guess who's got all of the videos from the entire presentation up, as well as Kim.com's particular contribution, 12 minutes long, with two camera angles cutting between each other with perfectly synced sound, plus seven other interviews with prominent members of that particular public meeting for about 4 minute interviews each to get their real perspective on where they think this bill and all of it is truly going. Guess who did that? All by himself, and was up until 6:15 in the frickin' morning to do so. Vinnie Eastwood. That's frickin' who. Who's the real media? I'm the real media. Okay? None of these other pieces of trash who work for the mainstream media have a freaking clue what they're doing. They don't know who they're messing with. They don't have the passion. They don't actually freaking care. I freaking care. You know why? Because if I don't, all of this important dialogue, all of these important lessons that the country ought to be learning right now in a timely fashion will be lost forever because nobody took responsibility for showing up, freaking recording it, and putting in some freaking effort so that those who lay down their very lives, that stake their reputations to protect us all from scumbaggery, if nobody is there to ensure that that voice gets amplified and repeated out, in high-def sound, it is a freaking wasted opportunity. Not on my freaking watch. Okay, this is what I do for this country. This is what I do for this planet. There's so many people from so many countries that have been on this show telling so many stories. And you know what? After a while, you get the impression that the grass is always greener on the other side. That everywhere, it's just as bad. Meaning, it's 10,000 times as bad as you could ever possibly conceive of. That's how bad things really are. And nobody's telling you about it because they want to protect you from the truth. You know why they want to protect you from the truth? Because they want to spare you pain. You know why they want to try and spare you that pain? Because that pain will get you really pissed off. Come after them and expose their scumbaggery and threaten their rule and dominance over your life and over your mind and over your hearts. And they cannot let the control go. This is the mentality of the people that we deal with on this show. These filth, slime, scumbaggery agents of the New World Order are the same everywhere you look. There's barely a distinguishing feature apart from a name tag and a face without a smile. Pip Cunningham is my guest, talking about her gorgeous daughter. And you know what? This reminds me of the case of Amy Sharon out of Texas. He showed me pictures of her daughter with the little pink cowboy boots and a little blue hat and stuff like that, walking around, playing dress up and stuff like that. The cutest thing you've ever freaking seen. Huge, big smile on her face, cute blonde hair, beautiful blue eyes. And then I'll show you the picture of what she looks like after they stole her from her. Did not want to be around when that stuff went down. To change that beautiful child in such a horrific way. And the same thing has happened to your child and has happened to so many. Why won't people listen? You know, why?
They're focusing, I think, on the Kahui and the other ones, and they think that's all the same, and it's not. And what I want the public to realise, what every parent is, they could be next. They knock at your door, and you could lose your child in an instant, and you'll be fighting for your life. It was 30,000 legalised. Now, it creeped up to around 70,000 and I lost count. You know, but, you know, and sleepless nights, I get insomnia, I dream, then that she's come back. My mother said to me, I had one daughter, and she says, you know, before she died, she says, you need to have another child just in case anything happens to your first child, otherwise you end up with nothing. I ended up with nothing anyway. Except for, I have to walk around every day, not knowing if my child is still alive, not knowing if she's going to commit suicide. I know that she has self-harm with razor blades. I know she's taken drugs. I know she's taken alcohol. I mean, she rings me and says, this daughter wants to know if she can get her lip pierced, a 13-year-old child. What sort of imbecile of a social worker would do that? You know, she's got a tongue pierced. She's only just turned 14. I mean, are they crazy?
I think we both know the answer to that question.
Here's the question.
Who's the crazy person? The person outside an office with a megaphone screaming about how horrifically they treat people's kids, or the person inside who's mistreating the kids and just going along with it? Who's the crazy one?
Qualified. Yeah. Unqualified. Yeah, if he can do a job with such, you know, you don't even need to be qualified.
Mm-hmm.
You buy your own horn and say, oh, yeah, I lock my gate. My children never get out. That's just disgusting. I can't give a word for it. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, all of my daughter is wanting to be a kid, a normal, happy kid. All as I wanted to be was the best mother in the world as I was. And it was stripped from me by nasty reporting. They used my child as a weapon. Two people used my child as a weapon because they didn't like me for some reason or another. But, you know, how nasty can that be? And anybody that's listening to me, you could be next. How are you going to feel? And they come knocking at your door and your neighbour or whoever has decided, let's see if we can just upset their nice, happy little family and rip their child off them and make a false notification.
And anybody who's your potential enemy or something like that, if you reported a crime, like somebody stole a TV or something like that, then they go to SIPS and get your kids taken off. You know,
that's right.
This is what's going on, man.
That's exactly what's going on, and it has to stop. And I would like to see a public inquiry.
Yes.
I would like to see a public inquiry because my...
Not a commission of inquiry. Not a frickin' commission of inquiry. A public inquiry. You know why they call it a commission of inquiry? Because they're employed to cover up the commission of a crime. They always say, oh, well, I can't comment on that story until we hear back from the commission, which ignores most of the submissions and, incidentally, call them submissions because that's what you're doing when you submit
to a commission of inquiry. You're submitting to their will and their lies and their scumbaggery. A public inquiry. Thank you very much.
I'm currently unsure how to do that.
Hey, who cares? You don't need to know how to do anything, apparently.
And wants to help me do a public inquiry against MSD Paula Bennett, then please don't hesitate to contact Vinny and he will contact me.
Yeah, so, and is it okay if I give out your is it okay if I give out your Facebook page on the archives and all of that?
Absolutely, I have nothing to hide. I am an innocent mother. Yes, I'm traumatised and I'm overloaded. I can't help it. When you have had your child legally kidnapped with no evidence and brainwashed against you 3.5 years, it is going to affect you a lot. I've come a long way, but they are not going to get away with it, and I will not be quiet, and I will keep on doing it again for anybody that will listen.
You know, I think we've got to leave it there. We'll come to break in a minute. And that Facebook page is facebook.com/kiwi.pip. That's facebook.com/kiwi.pip. You can go there if you can help Pip or you would like to interview her or anything like that. And, of course, I'll be contacting the Vinnie Eastwood Radio Alliance for other good talk show hosts that might want to interview you as well, Pip. So thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again.